You're listening to the Missionary Perspective Podcast with veteran missionaries Eric Johnson and Joshua Mead. We're glad you could join us. We trust this podcast will be both a blessing and a challenge as we relate topics in world evangelism from a missionary perspective. Now, here's Josh and Eric.
Welcome to the Missionary Perspective Podcast. This is Eric Johnson, your host from the Dominican Republic. And today we also have our other co-host, Josh Mead. In where are we today, Josh?
We are in Michigan, where it's a balmy 40 degrees. All the snow's melting. It's slushy and wet. And it's just, I think of days like this and think, why do I do furlough? I need to go back to Senegal.
We're going through a kind of a cold wave here as well. I had to sleep under the covers last night, Josh. So it's cold here as well. It's probably a balmy 88, 89 degrees here in the sunny Dominican Republic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know all about that. People don't understand when it drops that low, when you're used to hotter degrees, it gets a little chilly.
That's joking, but it's no joke. Like, this is the highest time for people who have flu right now, because to them, it is freezing outside. Yeah. So we are battling the flu in our church because it's dipped underneath 90 degrees.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's amazing how the body adapts.
How is 2024 going for the Josh Mead family?
Oh, it's going great. I did a trip to Senegal at the end of December. I shared a little bit of that on my Facebook about that trip. I think I might have even shared it on the podcast here, some interviews that I did with some of the men that we worked with. And I had a great Christmas with the family. I got to visit family up in Canada, family here in Michigan. And then started 2024 off with a bang. We spent about a little under a week in Pennsylvania with a supporting church there. I preached for their chapel services for their high school. Spent some time with their Wednesday night with their teen program, and then preached for the church on Sunday, and just had some incredible connections while we were there. I can't go into a lot of details about some of the connections. One of the guys I met there, his brother, and the reason I'm not saying which church it is because I wanted to share this story. But one of the men I met while I was there, he just so happened to be visiting. His brother is a member of this church. He lives in Morocco as he was a missionary working with a Christian school. And he happened to know missionaries with another mission board that had left Morocco and moved to our town in northern Senegal. And so we had the same connection. And after the school closed, he said, I went into acting. He said, I wasn't sure how a Christian could navigate that world. A lot of productions and filming is done in Morocco. And so he went into acting to try to support himself because he's not a supported missionary. And he played a role on a couple TV shows. And then it was a neat connection because he worked on the production of the Jesus film. There's a newer Jesus film that was made. It goes through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they just wrapped up filming of the book of Acts. And all they do is act out chapter by chapter. And you can add any language or version of the Bible to that film. And we use those films all the time to share the story of Christ and share the gospel with our social media. So I thought that was a neat connection that we made there. And then another gentleman we met was from a Middle Eastern country. We can't share publicly because of the danger he would be in. But long story short, he was a very prominent person from this country, had to flee, and ended up becoming a Christian. It's an incredible story, and I hope one day he'll be able to share that publicly. But when I went there and shared what we do with our social media outreach as part of the resources and tools we developed to evangelize, I was invited to join with some of the men that are helping this gentleman. He wants to share the gospel with the people with refugees from his country, as well as reaching people in his country. And so we're going to develop the first 10 lessons and help him get that together, film it, and then begin to publish that. But yeah, so it was exciting. It was a good start to the year. And we are traveling. We're back here in Michigan. My kids are going to school, of course. My son's playing basketball, and He's 14 years old, Tristan, and he's already five. I think he's 5'11 now, so he's growing insanely. And so basically, he's never played basketball before, but his coach told him, "You just tower over the kids and you'll just intimidate them." And it's basically what he's done. But he's picking up pretty quick. He's better than I was at that age at basketball. So I've been enjoying watching those games, traveling to churches, continuing, and yeah, it's been a good start of the year. How about you there in the Dominican Republic? How's your year going? You mentioned the flu, but I mean, how's the church going?
Well, before we get to the church, I also, as a proud father of sports playing sons, got to see my son pitch just the other day, and that is a very neat thing to when your kids are better than you in sports and you get to enjoy it. And Zach and Tyler both really enjoy baseball down here. Zach specifically plays on a team where it's really neat, actually. It kind of dovetails into what we're going to be talking about eventually here in the future. But we just had a survey trip of a big group that's going to come in the summertime, and they're planning some baseball outreach. And one of the baseball fields they're going to be doing it is at Zach's field, where we've been able to lead his coach to the Lord. And through that, many of the young people and so are very interested in the church, and we're hoping to start like a bus route from that. So that's neat when we can take sports and actually kind of weave it into ministry as well. I think the more we can do that in life, it's always better. Praise the Lord. We started the year very well. Ministries are rolling. We have a construction crew coming to continue to work on the phase two of the building we've kind of finished last year for Pastor Elias. And we're just always staying active, as you know, when you're on the mission field. In fact, Holly and I were taking a walk this morning talking about all the groups. I think we had about 3 years where we didn't have any groups in because of the pandemic and things like that. And so I think we're trying to do all the groups in 1 year, that catching up from 3 years ago. So we're excited about that. It keeps us on our toes, especially now having teenage kids who really interact well with the adults and the young people who come. I think it's more fun for them than it's ever been. It's always a lot of work, but in fact, this summer we're planning a huge baseball outreach. We've never done anything quite like this, and we've always wanted to work with the right groups, and I think it's going to. And so we're very excited about the future. The churches are doing well. You can be prayer for one of our church planters' father. He's almost 106, and he's just hanging on to life. And he's a believer. We know he's going to go to heaven, but he has a lot of pain, and so one of our church planters has to really take care of him a lot. So that's kind of a transitional period. They have what we call, what we call in America, hospice is kind of in right now. So we're transitionally trying to help him out with the ministry. But boy, it's exciting to be a missionary, and I love the beginning of the new year, Josh. I love having new goals and thinking about the year before and thinking about the year to come. How about you?
I do as well. And I love looking ahead at, you look back, of course, you reflect on your year. You look ahead at, are there projects carrying over? Are there, what's up on the calendar? You kind of give a refresh, kind of look at a new, we've got teams coming as well, just like you do. We've got a medical team coming, construction team coming, and then a youth group coming as well. It'll be their first trip to Africa. And then we have a church in California that's coming. They've got about 24 people signed up, and we'll probably do some soccer outreach and some other outreach like that. We plan on the property we built. We're going to put a basketball court out there and start doing some outreach with some of the people in the area with basketball and other sports. And so, yeah, it's exciting to look ahead. Now, I will say this, January is kind of the time as well in the new year. I just completed probably one of the more tedious, boring, probably the worst part of being a missionary would be this part. Now, it's not just limited to missionaries, but it takes all day. It's no fun to me. I just finished it, turned it in. Can you guess what I'm talking about? This horrible part of being a missionary?
No.
Our final quarterly report. Okay.
Oh,
Oh, man.
yeah.
I know businesses, you got to file reports, you got to save all your receipts, and at the end of the year, you got to file it. Now, when we're on furlough, and I mention it because today's theme, we're going to begin speaking about finances and the missionary and mission work. And one of the things, Eric, going into the new year is you kind of take a look at your finance. You do your final quarterly report. You kind of look at, okay, year to date, how much came in, and where's everything allocated? You've got to, is there a work fund that you have to carry over, and your personal funds that you're going to be taxed on? There's a lot that goes into it, not every missionary is it has a gifting to be able to organize their finances the right way. So I think, Eric, we wanted in this new year here to begin talking about finances and how important it is as a missionary, if you're listening as a missionary, to have your finances in order and to have a plan and purpose behind it.
Yeah, 100%. And it's funny that you mentioned quarterly reports, because I don't know how many years ago it was, but I also, I wouldn't say struggle with it, but it was definitely something I didn't look forward to. But once I got a system down, right. It really, really, you know, I think it was about 2 years ago, I really started having a system with receipts and things where you didn't get receipts and you had to make note of it, things like that. I don't know, maybe because I'm a numbers guy, I started to maybe not enjoy it's the right word, but not fear it like I did before. So I think a lot of things in organization is once you've learned to have a system and have a place where things go, sometimes you can make that a lot easier. So that's how I am with it now. I actually kind of look forward to it in the sense at the end of the year to see where we stand, see what we've been able to write off, see what we've been able to give. I'm really excited about that. And so some of those things, I'm kind of a numbers geek about that.
Well, if we don't make it to this podcast, let's make sure we find out what your system is and share some tips and secrets to how you can make it enjoyable. Because I'm not a natural administrator. I'm not, numbers is not my thing. I do the best I can. I do have a semi-system of keeping things together, but I'm pretty scattered when it comes to the way I organize. I'm not, you know, my desk is always messy. Notes, when I take notes for preaching, it's everywhere. I usually have to find three or four notebooks to put together one message because I just write it down wherever I'm at and all that. So yeah, maybe if it's not in this podcast, we'll definitely share some tips on doing your quarterly reports, saving receipts, things like that. Well, let's talk a little bit about that, Eric, about some finances, the missionary, and how we should approach it.
Yeah, so we were kind of spitballing this for a couple of months, and we by no means, as Josh is giving his testimony and mine, I'm going to give as well. We don't consider ourselves like experts on this area, but I think we just want to give the perspective. You know, we've both been on the mission field 15, 16 years, and, you know, you learn things over the years. I think probably because my children are getting older, getting closer to college age. Last year, I really had a... epiphany is not the right word, but basically a moment where I decided I need to really get serious about finances. And when I say that, my wife has always been a terrific saver. My wife has always been a very frugal person. These are some of the things we're going to talk about. In fact, her maiden name is Ferguson, and I used to call her Frugal Fergie just because she was just very frugal. So these things were natural. She really influenced me when we got married. So I feel like some of these principles we had. But some of the things, I mean, the things I did not know about personal finance could have fit the Grand Canyon. And my journey of maybe really intensely getting into some of these things and the things, just some principles I've learned in the last few months that I now feel like I really start trying to share with people who are younger, maybe even people who are older, because no one in the last 15 years really took any time to kind of ask me about these things. And I'm not mad at anybody particularly, but I do wish maybe somebody had been a little more intentional to just ask me about, you know, retirement, ask me about kids savings for college, ask me about, you know, how are you doing preparing for the future and other goals. And I think that would have really maybe jogged my mind in some ways to have gotten this journey started a little earlier. And so that's kind of the first thing that I want to say when it comes to like, what have I learned a lot in the last 8 months as I've dived into this area that I knew mostly nothing about, is really formulating a plan. Because if you don't have a target, you're basically going nowhere. You're kind of adrift. And, you know, we have to learn to save, and that's great. And we did that for a while. But I feel like if you can have a specific goal in mind, if you can understand not only what's coming in, but what's going out, and you know, having just a target together as a wife and husband, knowing what you're maybe in not knowing exactly, but maybe thinking about the future. How long do you think the Lord might have us here on the mission field? If you think it's 20 plus years, well, then you kind of have a target. Hey, we're planning to be here 20 plus years. So we can start making plans kind of based on that. And so for me, I think it was very hard for us to just know what's going to happen in the future instead of taking time to maybe think about it and say, well, if this is the future, then what's 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years? And so I think number one was us just sitting down, Holly and I, having a formulated plan of our life for the future before you get into finances and budget. I don't know how are you like that?
That's one thing that as a young man, two things I learned from my parents. My dad was a hard worker, and I learned a work ethic from my dad, just watching him providing for our family. And then my mom was a wise steward of finances and taught us to be wise stewards. And as I think I was 12 or 13 when they got us our first puppy, and the puppy wasn't as a pet. They bought it for us. They gave it to us to because we sold puppies. That's how we got through Christian school. They were able to get us through Christian school with that. And so they taught us how to be wise stewards with our resources, our finances, and balance that with, church and our, obligations to stewarding your money for church with tithe and offerings and faith promise. And then as well, just being able to save and be all of that. So I had that advantage where because my dad didn't make a lot of money, my mom was very frugal and was very wise with money. My grandfather was a hard worker as well, and was very good with money. And so I kind of inherited that. So going into it, it was just kind of something that was already ingrained in me to be wise, to be frugal, to treat money. I think missionaries and anybody in general, we need to view money as any other resource that is necessary, okay? Because it is a necessary resource for not only fulfilling God's call, but maintaining the work He's called you to be a part of, and then advancing it as well. And so you have the aspects of, okay, I have a budget that's just to fulfill the calling of God in my life. So you need to take into consideration, I've got to get to the field, I've got to live on the field. That's bottom line. Then to maintain the work that He's called you to fulfill. So if you feel He's leading you to build a building, well, you've got to consider, is the church in a place that it can maintain a building, or do I need to have resources to maintain it? What about evangelism? What type of outreach are we doing? So you need to budget for that. And then for the advancing of the work, are we going to expand? Are we going to train men? And do I need a budget for that and projects? And so all of those things kind of develop over time. But it does help when you're younger if you view money not as there's one or two ways of looking at it, I think, where you either look at it as, oh man, I've got this money. Do I save it? Do I spend it? Like, instead of looking at it as a resource, it's just kind of like, oh man, I live how I want. I look at all this money coming in. Or we view it as, well, I can't have too much money because that's not very Christ-like. A missionary is supposed to be poor. And I would say this, when you were younger, starting out, what would you say, how would you interpret the concept when you were younger, if you could go back 20 years ago, and then today, has this phrase maybe changed in meaning? And the phrase would be living by faith.
How
That's a good
would you
question.
view
That's a
that?
good
Yeah.
That's a good question. I think you're probably right in the sense that the generation and the generations before us, that phrase living by faith meant literally going on an airplane, not knowing how you were going to make it the next month on the
Right.
mission field. And I certainly think, I mean, we read those biographies and they impact us greatly. And I don't think by any stretch of the imagination, I would say that probably tons of missionaries that still live like that. I think you and I maybe were trained by pastors who also had the foresight to use other biblical principles, before you build a tower. You calculate, you analyze, you think. And so I think there can be a balance in that. I think every major project we've ever endeavored to do here on the mission field, and we built three churches and bought three properties, and we're constantly investing in the future. We always step out by faith. It's never like we already have all the funds. And so I think you can live by faith, but I think maybe when I was maybe 30 years old or 25 years old as a young missionary, thought more like being a missionary meant you had to be like George Mueller sitting at the table waiting for the door to knock. And certainly those people are spiritual giants, but I think there's also a planning aspect that we're not talking about being, I haven't met any rich missionaries. Like, you know, the idea is that missionaries aren't rich. It's just how you use the resources God's provided for you. And there's wisdom and wise steps. And that's kind of what we're talking about as far as personal finance with your missionary as a family, as a family unit, and then also as a ministry and how they intertwine.
Yeah, I would say to the young missionary starting out, and even maybe pastors listening who maybe have read.
Oh, real quick. Let me ask that. Let me add this real quick. Being on deputation, usually the very first steps of being a missionary actually does usually require sometimes the most faith. You know, quitting your job, taking your family on the road. And so in that sense, but maybe that leap of faith is not the same than it was 20 years ago.
Yeah, I think that phrase living by faith, especially when you're a younger missionary or going into the ministry, I would say don't mistake the phrase living by faith with poor planning and unwise stewardship, right? And so I think the Bible's very clear that we need to be wise stewards. And I think as you grow and you mature in the ministry and in your walk with the Lord, I think that understanding of what it means to live by faith becomes more rich. It becomes rich, unironically, you know, not, pun not intended, but it becomes just there's a deeper sense to it, which is living by faith means pursuing the will of God. And when you know God has put on your heart to do a project, I have 100% confidence He's going to provide for it. So stepping out by faith means, not that we're going to try to do it without raising funds or without presenting it, but it's knowing that God is calling me to do this. And so I'm going to step out. And I think there's, you know, it entails when you're on deputation, it can be scary, you know, because it's a whole new world. Maybe
Absolutely.
you're leaving a job. And so the expectation is,
Selling a
oh,
home.
yeah. So I don't think the phrase is living by faith means I don't know where my next month's salary is going to come from, right? I don't think that's what it means. In fact, if you go back and read, I had this discussion recently online with some missionaries who were talking about this concept of living by faith. And I went back and looked at kind of Adoniram Judson and Zwingli and that whole team. And they sent back one of the men on the team, came back. His name's slipping me, Luther something. Anyways, he came back, Luther Rice, I think it was. They got to the field and realized they didn't have enough funds to maintain and continue. So I believe it might not have been Luther Rice, but as one of the men on that team came back to the States and went full time raising support and sent it back to the missionaries. So they designated one out of the four on the team to raise funds. And so it wasn't like they got there and said, well, let's just kind of trust God to bring in the money next month. Maybe that is his calling for you. And if that is his calling to prove him month by month with a limited budget, then go for it. But that's not the norm, is what I'm trying to say. So know that the Bible wants us to be, Jesus wants us to be wise stewards and to plan, as you mentioned already, to have a plan.
And I think you're going to find as a missionary, if you stay on the mission field for any length of time, there's going to be plenty to test your faith, and you're going to have to live by faith. What we're kind of talking about is trying your best to make sure that finances for every month is not necessarily one of them. We don't look at that as necessarily a badge of honor that you went on less money than you probably should have, and every month you have basically more stress than you need to have. And that's kind of one of the things my pastor, who's one of the wisest pastors I've ever met when it comes to finances, he just understands it, and God has greatly blessed his wisdom. And he was kind of like, listen, we don't want you to go to the mission field. And the first thing you're worried about is, you know, can you pay your rent? Can you put gas in your vehicle? Can you rent a building so you can have a church? I mean, that's kind of the point of you going. And so once again, we're not talking about richness. We're talking about just basic planning, because the living by faith is going to come. But you know, I think you and I understood that. But some of the things I did not understand, this is kind of what I'm getting at, is that after really almost 15 years of being on the mission field, we had concentrated on, you know, purchasing properties for new buildings, building buildings, training leaders. But I would say one of the holes in my life was understanding the second point, which is really the invest early and invest often. And I'm talking about for the future. Now, we in our organization have a minimum that we're supposed to give every month for retirement, which I will put in here, the previous generations, as far as I understand, didn't even have that access. And so for many people, this is a wonderful thing for veteran missionaries from 40, 50, 60 years ago. They didn't have anything saved for retirement. So this would be an advantage. But what I did notice is that we weren't planning well enough for the future. Okay. If something were to befall us and we couldn't, you know, we had to stop being missionaries in the next 5 years, and let's say I couldn't work, you know, we weren't properly prepared in that way. We had done a very good job at saving, but investing early and often is the idea of, you know, having your money set aside, saving for a future. Because, you know, you and I don't have a pension, Josh. One day when we do retire and maybe 65, maybe 7 years old, if we're blessed to be on the mission field or be involved with missions that long, we will probably get something small from Social Security, but it would be the lion's share of what we've set aside and prepared for. And I thought personally that we were doing a pretty good job of it. And then when I just took really basically 2 days worth of research, I realized, no, we need to really step this up. Now, I praise the Lord, in 8 months, I feel much better today than I did 8 months ago about the future. But I will say this, it took very little self-introspection and review. And I don't consider myself the kind of person who procrastinates on a lot of things and puts it aside, but I kind of did in this one. And I really wish maybe an older person, 5, 10 years down the line, another life stage had kind of come alongside and checked on me maybe 5, 10 years ago. And I've kind of taken that badge. And now I, in a kind way, try to do that without asking anybody's details. I don't want to know people's personal details, but just check on them, see how they're doing in preparation for the future, how they're doing thinking about their kids' future college, how they're doing thinking about, you know, health needs in the future, goals. And I think it doesn't take a lot of work. I mean, this, I'm sure you've heard of the phrase dollar cost averaging. And that's where basically you set aside every month a certain amount of money that you're going to put into some sort of investment, whether it be your 401k or an IRA or whatever you decide. And that's something we could always talk about one day if we get some financial advisors in here, because everybody's right. Personal finances is personal. But just the habit. I mean, it can be $25 a month, it can be $50 a month, but starting those habits early, having them in good yielding products really can make a difference, because that wonderful miracle compound interest really loves long age, long years. And I think that's something that I think we all understand, but when you apply it personally and you realize what the target may be, it really helps you seek out for the future.
Absolutely. And I think it's something that, you know, different mission boards will address to certain levels, but I think you're right. I think there's certain policies that mission boards have enacted because of the past and bad decisions. My pastor told me back in the 70s, he said all the pastors opted out of Social Security because the United States allowed it, and they were convinced that the government should not have that influence over a church leadership. And so they each came to their personal conclusions why they felt they could opt out. But my pastor said, we opted out, but we didn't invest in anything else. And so he said, a lot of men are stuck in their 80s, you know, 70s, 80s with, they just either can't retire because there's no plan. And so I think some missions like our mission board, you know, with 40 pastors or, you know, give or take on the board, have come together and said, hey, we need to make sure that our missionaries are planning for the future. And I think for the missionary, if you're young and you're like, well, this is for the Lord's work, like, how can I set it aside for my future? You're the one who's called. And so your life is set apart for the Lord, and every aspect of your life, your present and future, you need to be to plan for it, to be a wise steward. And I think when you're younger, there is a little bit of trepidation. Boy, should I invest, or do I need to, you know, throw the majority of my support into the work and things like that? You need to do what you can do. You need to do something. Certainly, you need to do something, and then become a wise steward. And I love that today, more and more Christians and church leaders are recognizing the value and the importance of planning for retirement, making wise investments. And I think it's something that maybe as missionaries, we haven't talked a lot about. So we're going to dive into it over the following few weeks. I don't know if you want to wrap it up now, and then we'll for the following week, we're with our Zoom, we're at our 40-minute limit. We can either continue or we can wrap it up and continue this conversation next week.
I think it's a great starting point. We're just getting started. And I think the last thing I'd add is that, you know, formulating a plan also requires you having some financial goals. And really sitting down with your wife, they can be ministry goals. You know, we want to see the purchase of property, the leadership development, and you know, what that entails. Certainly when it comes to your own your family, when it comes to the college education for kids, you know, but I think just having those guidelines and those goals will help you set towards a mark, help you be intentional, help you educate yourself in the areas you need. But lastly, I'd say this, missionaries, continue to be generous with your money and your resources. Look for ways, whether you're investing in a national leader, investing in the people you serve, or investing, I like to invest, if the Lord puts on our heart, on younger missionaries coming up, whether it's a financial support at a one-time gift or take them on for support for a year or two. You know, we have been the recipients of so much generosity. I love being the generous person, and we see the Lord bless us through that as well. And so these are just some tips, and we're going to talk about this. We'd love to hear from you, things you learned over the year, good things, bad things. We're learning this together. We're by no means experts in saying we're experts, but I do feel like there are some missionaries out there that could probably use this podcast and maybe cause them at most to just think about the future.
Next week, we're going to get kind of dig a little bit more into this topic and continue as we seek the Lord's guidance and biblical principles on how to be wise stewards of our finances as missionaries. Well, from Michigan, this is Joshua Mead.
DR, it's Eric Johnson.
Have a great day. Thanks for tuning in.